prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. I need to say something real quick. That word bowels, Paul's speaking not of the physical part of the body, but of this internal feeling or heart, as we call it. When you say you feel something in your gut, there may be some physical feeling there, but you know as well as I do, it is an emotional feeling that's going on there. So I wanted to clarify that, because I didn't want you to think that we're talking about the human entrails. I know some of you have been in church long enough where you think, well, that's kind of silly. No. There are people that are in our crowd that do not know. And it is my job to make sure that everybody has an understanding of what we're reading here and is not hindered by a word that is not commonly used today when we're talking about different things. So verse number 8. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me. But how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee, or oweth thee aught. Watch what old brother Paul says here. If he's done you wrong. And Paul knew that Onesimus had done Philemon wrong. If he's done you wrong, if he owes you any money, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. You know, the reason he said that is because much of what Paul wrote in our New Testament, the letters, they were dictated to someone who would write for him. But in this one, he wrote it himself. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how that thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord, having confidence in thy obedience. I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Congratulations, you've just read a whole book of the Bible. Father, in Jesus' holy name, I ask you, Lord, to help me as I preach. Give me the right words to say. Connect my mind, Lord, with your words. that what I proclaim would be your word and not my word, would be what you want preached and what you want said and not what I want to say. God, forgive me of my many sins, many shortcomings where I failed you. Let me be pure and holy before you as I stand to preach your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. In this little book of the Bible, we see an incredible story about a former slave named Onesimus and his master Philemon. But Paul starts out this letter. Let me set the scene, if I could, for you first. Onesimus had likely stolen from Philemon. Some of you right there in the very first sentence there say, well, I ain't got no use for a thief. Neither did Philemon. Got no use for an offender. And Onesimus had ran away. He had left his duty of being a servant, whether it was agreed upon servant or whether he was in fact in slavery and held there against his will, which I personally believe he was, which would prompt him to run and to get away. At some point in time, Onesimus met Paul. Now, Paul is in prison in a different location. He is at Ephesus, and he is writing to Colossae, and Colossae is where Philemon's house was. Now, we'll read about Onesimus in the book of the Colossians. We read about him in chapter number 4. Matter of fact, this thief or this runaway was called by Paul a faithful and beloved friend. And so the scene is that it is likely that Paul met Onesimus in a prison cell. He said, I have begotten him in my bonds. That doesn't just mean that he convinced him to be saved too. I believe they met each other in a jail cell. But that precious old revivalist, Brother Paul, preached the gospel to that preacher. Maybe Onesimus was there that night that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. Y'all okay? Can we connect the dots just a little bit? See, we read the book, we read the Bible like everything that happened in Acts doesn't take place in the Pauline epistles. I don't know if you do know this, but the book of the Acts of the Apostles are what is happening in Peter and Paul's life and the other apostles as they're traveling through, spreading the joy and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those acts are the encounters that Paul and Peter and James and John wrote about in their epistles. What we read in the book of Acts is what is taking place in all of these letters that we have here. So we have the data that backs up the stories, the factual evidence right here in the Word of God. And so it is very possible that Onesimus was in that jail cell that night. It is very possible that Onesimus saw Paul chained to a prison guard as he was being led off somewhere else and heard the gospel proclaimed out of the mouth of the Apostle Paul as he went from place to place. And maybe they were in a mobile prison together. We don't know where they would be in an encampment and they were chained to guards and they would have to go around. I don't know exactly how they met. But going off of Onesimus' past and the things that he had participated in, those things follow you. Y'all all right? It is highly likely that this Onesimus heard the preaching of the Word of God from the Apostle Paul while they were together in a jail cell. Talk about jailhouse religion. You got it right here. Amen. By the way, I am glad for agencies that still go into the jailhouses. I am thankful for men and women that are willing to say, you know what, there's a prisoner that's done something wrong and they need the Lord. Amen. I am thankful for people who are willing to set aside somebody's past and go to where they are since they can't come to them and give them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people got to go to prison just to get free. Amen. I'm thankful that God works and uses people in that way. And here is the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, said in the first verse that he was a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And Timothy was there with him, and they're writing to Philemon. Paul was really saying that he was glad to be captive of his Redeemer. Paul did not view his incarceration as a place of woe in his life. He viewed it as a sentence that he served for the cause of Christ. He knew that he had him in those jail cells. He knew where he was so that he could reach somebody else with the gospel. Amen. Paul's whole, we talked about it a little bit in Sunday school. Paul wanted to go somewhere. He kept appealing every time Paul would get in jail. You guys know, or you Bible readers know the story of him before Agrippa, how that Agrippa said those sad words, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Festus told him in the same time, "Paul, you're beside yourself, you're mad, you done gone crazy." It's likely that Paul and Festus had grew up together and they knew each other. You know, you ever been in a serious situation and you go in a courtroom or something like that and you look over and there's your old buddy from high school? Hey, oh, that hadn't happened to y'all. Maybe you're the guilty one and you look over and the prosecutor's your cousin. That ain't happened to y'all. Some of y'all didn't grow up in small town America, I see. Amen. Or you go to church with the judge. That ain't happened yet either, huh? You might find out there's some things like that that go on. It's very likely that as Paul stood before Festus and Agrippa, because of Paul's upbringing and the pedigree that he was brought up in, that he stood with Festus and persecuted Christians before. So Festus would have all the right to say, "Paul, you're mad, you're crazy. Look at you, man, you're standing here in front of me. We used to run together. We used to go eat together. We used to do all these things. We came up in school together, but here you are proclaiming this silly name of Christ," is what Festus might have said. And old Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And then they went on and said, "Had he not appealed to Caesar, we might have let you go." Paul said, "Well, praise God, I'm going to talk to the top man." Paul knew and believed that if he could win the leader of the free world, he could transform an entire generation for the cause of Christ. So being in jail for a little while, being in prison for a little while, didn't matter much to the old Apostle Paul. He knew where God wanted him to be. And while he was there, he won good old Onesimus to the Lord. Onesimus was a good friend, and that's the scene. That's the backdrop of what's going on for this little book. But they're writing to this man, Philemon, and Philemon is a dearly beloved, as verse number 1 says. And Paul obviously knew him rather personally. One, he says the church that is in his house. But before that, he called out two names, Appia and Archippus. That is believed, the commentaries that I read and the studies that I've done, that was his wife and his son. Philemon's wife and son are here. So he knew him well enough to call his wife by his first name. See, I know when people really know me, if they don't really know me, they'll say Pastor and Mrs. Agin. But if they know me, they'll say Josh and Tara. They know us personally. They know her personally. And if someone calls her Mrs. Agin, I automatically assume, well, you don't know me too well, because I don't even know who Mrs. Agin is. That was my mama. But he calls his wife and his son, and he And he says Archippus is a fellow soldier. It is believed that Archippus was the pastor of the church that was in Philemon's house. And he tells, Paul tells him, I want you to have grace and peace from God our Father. He reminds him who the Lord is and who Christianity is based upon. And then he tells him that he thanks God for him and he makes mention of him always. He's praying for him. All of those prayers, can you imagine the prayer list that he mentally retained, that Paul mentally retained as he called out people's names in different areas, Philippi, Ephesus, Colossae, Thessalonica, all of these different places, Lystra, Iconium, where he was beaten. How many of those people did the Apostle Paul pray for as he's there? And he says to Philemon, I'm praying for you. And he remembered him. And he tells him what he prays for, that you'll become effectual in your knowledge of every good thing which is in Christ Jesus. And he says, for I have great joy and consolation in thy love, because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee. Philemon was a man who cared about the condition of the church. And Paul, from a jail cell, is writing to him. Y'all getting something with me? And so in verse number 8, he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Paul's saying here, I'm about to drop the hammer on you, homeboy. I've got something to tell you. I'm about to enjoin you. I'm about to, he's flattered him, I guess you could say, with this sweet talk about praying for you and the grace of God and his wife and his son, and he's hearing about these good things and how the church is refreshed and people are getting their lives changed because of the church that's in his house. And then he says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ, I've got something to say to you, Philemon, about a young man that you know. And he says, yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Verse 10, this is where he delivers the punch to Philemon. Remember, Philemon had lost Onesimus as a servant or a slave. He had ran away. He had likely stolen from him. He had no use for him anymore. And Paul says, I beseech thee for my son. Now the word beseech, that's a word that's not commonly used. You might hear it in a play if you go somewhere, but it's an old word from Old English, so we don't use it much anymore. But it simply means to beg with urgency. It means to request earnestly, is what the word beseech means. So he says, I'm going to beg you urgently. I'm going to request earnestly that you do something for my son, S-O-N, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. See, the Apostle Paul took this young man who had committed this crime against Philemon and now made him more than just a servant. He's more than just a slave. He has become a son. Paul had taken this man under his wing, and he had made sure that he was going back to right that wrong. He goes on to say, in times past, he was unprofitable. Now, we take that little line there because Onesimus was unprofitable. Maybe Onesimus was not the best worker. Maybe Onesimus was bitter against Philemon. Maybe Philemon... See, in those days, you have to understand the Roman law. And the Roman law stated, basically, we're not going to read the whole Roman law, and we're not going to go back and actually dig it out, but if you will take my word for it, and by all means, please study it for yourself, a slave or a servant could be beaten mercilessly without any retribution from anyone. They could quite literally do anything they wanted to. It is said, that I'd studied this, that one of Nero's close associates kept eels in a pond in front of his house. And when a slave would do something that he did not like, he would throw those slaves in that pond and let them be struck and eaten even by those eels. That was the cruelty of men. And by the way, we have not come far away from the cruelty of men. Men are still cruel to others and to helpless creatures. Somebody say amen right there. We like to think we're far advanced as a society, but really, you don't have to look very far to find cruelty in our world. So it is believed that slaves and servants were treated horribly. While some were treated good, most were treated very poorly. Paul says, hey, in times past, Onesimus was unprofitable to you. He didn't help you. He didn't add anything to your household. But now he's going to be profitable. Now he's going to be worth something to you. And I want you to receive him as my son. That wasn't Paul's literal son. I feel the need to say that. It was not his biological son. It was his son in the Lord. There was a time where I was the young man, and there were older preachers in the church that took me under their wing. My pastor, Brother Carroll, y'all have heard me talk about him lots of times, and I thank God for that man of God. When I was 19 years old, he took me under his wing, and he taught me. I remember one of my uncles had passed away suddenly, and we were sitting at his house, and I remember sitting there, and he said to me, or I said to him, what do you say? Preacher, I'm glad you're here, but what do you say in a moment like this? What do you do? And this is what he said. He said, you don't say or do anything. You're just here. Now, I had to reckon that in my mind. What does that mean? I'm just here. Sometimes people don't need you to pronounce your presence. They just need your presence. You don't have to tell them how long you've been there. They just need to know that when they look up, you're going to be there steady as the sun, right where you always been. And so thank God for that. Thank God for someone. But it used to be that I was the young man. Now I got young people coming to me. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm still young. Can't tell y'all nothing. I'm still the young guy. At least in my mind, some of y'all say amen to that. He said, now he's going to be profitable to thee and to me. Paul said, because he's my son, because I've adopted him in the faith, now he's going to be profitable, who before was not profitable at all. And he says, I've seen him again. Verse number 12, thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels, my own heart. He said, who I would have retained. Philemon probably could have went with Paul on a missionary journey. He had established a church. Archippus was there to help the church. Philemon was not necessary there in the church. He could have went out and preached the gospel. But he didn't. He stayed home. And so Paul says, I would have retained, even though I've seen him again, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Maybe Onesimus got out while Paul was still in prison. And instead of running off again, Onesimus would go get the things that he needed. See, in those days, they didn't provide anything. They still don't provide much. But in those days, they didn't provide anything. What you got came because somebody cared about you while you were there. It's likely that Onesimus went and got the things that Paul needed and gave them to him and made sure he had what he needed and became profitable to Paul. Verse 14 says, but without thy mind would I do nothing. I don't want to do it. Hey, without your permission, he's your servant. He's your slave. I don't want to keep him. And so, you know, Paul could have been a very different letter here. It could have been Paul writing to him and say, hey, I want to buy Onesimus from you. That could have really happened in those days. And instead of that, he sends Onesimus back to Philemon, and he wants him to make things right. And he says in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. A lot of times, after somebody goes away for a little while, then they come back and they're more faithful the second time around than they are the first time around. Sometimes trials, tribulations, difficulties have to happen before someone realizes how precious life and life experience really is. Onesimus had grown up a little bit, and he goes back. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season that thou shouldest receive him forever. Verse 16 says, now, watch this, not as a servant, but above a servant, a beloved brother, especially to me. Philemon was a servant holder, a slave owner, a well-respected member of the community. He was under the Roman governance, and yet he still served Christ. But he would have been an affluent individual to have had property like this and a house large enough to maintain a gathering of Christians in those days. Philemon would have been under peer pressure when it came to his servants and his slaves. He would have been pressured into, hey, if that guy, I can almost hear him talking, the shop talker, or maybe around the water cooler. And I'm telling you, man, if Onesimus would have run off of me as soon as I caught him, I'd beat the fire out of him. Those would have been the type of conversations. Hey, I wouldn't let him live. I can't believe he stole from you, Philemon. Why you want to even entertain the idea of letting him come back? Paul is not appealing to the Roman side of Philemon. Paul is appealing to the Christian heart. Here is the problem that we have when we deal with people. We like to appeal to our human heart and our human mind and treat people as such, and we disregard the fact that we are Christian brothers and sisters. And what should govern how we treat each other is our Christianity. I can't believe so-and-so did that to me. I can't believe they said that about me. I can't believe that they talked that way. I can't believe they participated in that. We appeal to our human side, which has no business being in the spiritual realm. If I could make an appeal to you this morning, is to flip the on switch of that Christian side back on. We kind of turn it off. I'm spiritual, I'm carnal. I'm spiritual. Don't you laugh. You know good and well that's the truth. You jump back and forth. The Bible says a double-minded man's unstable in all his ways. He's appealing to the spiritual side of Philemon rather than to the human side. The human side said, I'm done with Onesimus. The human side says, beat him within an inch of his life if you left him live. But no, Paul says, I want you to receive him not now as a servant, but above a servant, more than a servant. See, both Philemon and Onesimus had been won to the Lord by Paul. They shared a spiritual father. And because they shared a spiritual father, they were spiritual, what's that next word? Brothers. I used to get mad at my brother. My brother sitting right over there used to throw rocks at me. He's bigger than me, stronger than me, and he was older than me. He is older than me. I know Laurie's watching online. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Both of them are older than me. I, in fact, am the youngest of the three of us. Just a baby. Y'all are welcome. And I remember those things, and he remembers things that I've done to him, but that doesn't change the fact that we have the same father. And we're brothers. Through the rest of our life, he's stuck with me. Can't do nothing about it. He can run off to the other side of the world. That don't change the fact we're brothers. He's asking him, I want you to remember who it is you come from. Receive him more than a servant, but a beloved brother special to me. and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord? He said, hey, you not only got somebody there in front of you physically, but you also have a spiritual brother now. You have gained someone that'll pray with you. You've gained someone that'll walk with you, that'll talk with you, that'll talk about the Bible with you, that'll discuss Christianity with you, that'll discuss private, personal things through the Word of God with you. We have a brother you can go through and go to in the flesh and in the Lord. And then Paul really lowers the boom on him. He says, if thou count me therefore a partner, just go on ahead and receive him as myself. Paul says, I want you to treat Onesimus, the guy that offended you, as if it was me standing there waiting on you to read that letter. Onesimus was a servant. He was a slave. That means he carried his own letter. You imagine how that would have went? Philemon, I'm cooking this chicken. Won't you go get the door? Philemon goes to the door. He opens up that door, and there stands the offender. There stands the heartbreaker. Showed up at his house, and he's got a little old parchment in his hand. I can almost hear Onesimus' voice tremble as he says, Paul sent me with this. Throwing himself on the mercy guy of Philemon. Giving himself to a position that may cost him his life, all so that he can be right with God. He puts that letter in his hand. Maybe the interaction went where he stood there. Philemon had to get his old readers. And he opened up that parchment. And he reads and he smiles. And then he gets to that convenient part. And the smile dissipates just a little bit. This is a serious letter. And then he gets to that reception part. And he looks back at the offender. And he looks back at Paul's words. And in that moment, Philemon made the decision as to whether or not he would extend mercy or he would exact judgment. There will come a time in your life where somebody who has greatly and tremendously offended you will show up in your life when you least expect it. And in that moment, you will make the decision as to whether or not you will exact judgment or you will extend mercy. The choice will be yours. And here's what I hope you do as you model the story of Philemon and Onesimus. You'll receive that offender as the greatest spiritual leader you've ever had in your life. If he have wronged thee, watch verse number 18. If Onesimus has wronged thee, or if he owe you anything, put it on my account. Said Paul wrote this with his own hand, and I'm going to repay it. He pleads to him again in verse 20, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. I wonder how the letter from Onesimus and Philemon went going back to Paul. I'd sure like to have that one. I believe Paul did get refreshed in his heart by the Lord through what the joy that this meeting of this offender and this offended had, that it changed their life. It changed the trajectory even of Christianity, so much so that God saw fit to have it put in the canon of Scripture that we read and heed and call our guidebook for our life and faith and practice. Watch this. In verse 21, it says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. Paul has asked Philemon to treat him better than a servant, like a brother, like if Paul was walking through the door. And he said, I know you're going to even do better than that. You're going to give more than what I'm asking for. Last Sunday night, I talked about being a second-mile Christian. Go another. Here's old Philemon who is challenged to do more than just receive him and do what Paul is asking him to do in his Christian side that he has appealed to. But then verse number 22 comes along and says, but withal, prepare me also a lodging. Wait a minute, preacher, what has that got to do with the story of Onesimus and Philemon? Well, we find that we treat people a little bit better when we view life in the thought and the fact that the master might be here at any moment. I want you to prepare me a lodging, because I believe it ain't going to be long, I'm going to be with you. So the whole thing goes, why would I treat an offender better? Why would I give somebody the time of day that wronged me? Why would I care about somebody else? Why would I love them in the condition that they're in? Why would I treat them good even though they did me dirty and did me wrong? Why would I do that? Because that's what Jesus did. And he may be returning any moment. I sure hope that your lodging is prepared for him and you're ready to receive him any day. Old Philemon, I believe, because we have it in Scripture, that he made the right choice. He done more. And Onesimus became not only to Paul but to Philemon also a brother beloved and faithful in the ministry. That's in Colossians 4:9. I can't remember if I said that earlier or not. What about you? Is there an Onesimus in your life? God might have them show up at your door. Is there a Philemon that you need to go back to? And is there an old brother Paul that says, look here, we got to work this thing out. My. Father, in Jesus' name, work in our church. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us. Encourage us only the way that you can. God, you know the hearts and lives and homes of your people. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would invade their hearts right now and you would show them, Lord, what they need to be, what they need to do. Father, have your will. Have your way. In Jesus' name. Would you stand with us while we sing?